Now, for the first time in his papacy, Pope Francis has endorsed same-sex civil unions and called for legal protections for same-sex families. He did so while being interviewed for a documentary film called Francesco, which premiered today at the Rome Film Festival. Time magazine reported that in a sit-down interview for the film, the Pope said, quote, "Homosexual people have a right to be in a family. They are children of God," end quote. And the Pope goes on to say their life should not be made miserable and that we need a civil union law. Now, the implications of the Pope's statements are unclear, as there is a difference between interview remarks and official church teaching. But still, how are you reacting to this, whether you're Catholic or not? What do you think this means for the church, for the LGBTQ community, and for society as a whole? We welcome your thoughts. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Here to help us consider what this could mean for the Catholic community in the Commonwealth and beyond, first we have Thomas Groom, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College. Tom is past director of the Church in the 21st Century Center and also author of Faith for the Heart, A Catholic Spirituality. And also with us is Marianne Duddy Burke, executive director of Dignity USA, an organization of Catholics working for LGBTQIA equality. Tom and Marianne, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana.
It's great to be with you both.
Thank you, Marianne.
And listen, as we jump into this conversation, Tom and Marianne, I just want to acknowledge I was president of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Boston from 2007 to 2010. All right, so as is so often the case with big and sometimes ambiguous news, I think I just want to start by asking from each of your perspectives, how big is this? Tom, how big a deal is this?
Well, you know, Tiziana, as Joe Biden said the other night, when the Pope or when the President speaks, what the President says matters. And likewise, in spades, really, what the Pope says for Catholics really, really matters. So it is significant that the Pope would do this and say this. Now, he has said things somewhat like this before and so on, but I don't think he's ever come out as Pope in favor of civil unions before. So at least it looks like it's a step in the right direction. But I'm anxious to hear what Marianne would think of it.
Go ahead, Marianne.
Yeah, our position is that we are very cautiously optimistic about this statement at the moment. As Tom rightly notes, you know, there have been positive sounding statements on LGBTQ issues in the past, which have then been clarified or walked back a bit by the Vatican. So I think that we're kind of at the beginning of the story here. We're just in the first chapter, and we're going to have to wait and see what the response of the Vatican is to all of the reports. And personally, I really would like to see the whole context of these remarks in the film before coming to a final conclusion. That having been said, if these remarks stand, it could be an international revolution for LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
I want to underscore a note that you both struck just there. The Pope has said similar things before. I'm going to play you some sound here from 2016. He's talking about it during an in-flight press conference on the way back from Azerbaijan. Here he is.
Le persone si devono accompagnare come li accompagna Gesù. Quando una persona
Now, obviously, he's speaking in Italian there, but the Pope says, quote, "We must accompany people like Jesus would. When this person comes before Jesus, he will never leave you because you are homosexual. No," end quote. So we know the Pope has said similar things before. Is there something substantively different as we understand it, Tom, in what he said this time in 2020?
Well, I think his emphasis, Tiziana, on everybody is a child of God. Like, in a sense, this is absolutely non-negotiable Catholic faith. I mean, this is constitutive of our faith. Anybody who says otherwise is in heresy. In other words, it goes back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, that and God made humankind in God's own image and likeness, and all are made in the image and likeness of God. Nobody is any more or less than anybody else. So he's all of that we know already, and he has said things like it before, and yet he made it central, it seemed to me, as I read this the statement, the report, and that being children of God gives us all a right to a family. So it's, I don't think he's saying anything that he hasn't said before, but I think it does have a new emphasis, and it, I think we have to take it very seriously, because it's not just the opinion of this pope. This pope is articulating what is foundational to our Catholic faith, and that is that all are made in the image and likeness of God, and to say or imply otherwise becomes heretical.
Marianne, I want to parse out here. There is the Pope saying these things in an interview. There is the Pope sustaining these comments in his papal position, and then there is church teaching. I want to stay at the Pope sustaining these comments in his papal position. If he does that, how important are these words for LGBTQ Catholics? What does it mean for their relationship to their church, to the faith?
Well, I think it would be a tremendous sign of inclusion, certainly to LGBTQ Catholics, to our families, but the implications are much broader than that, even. The Vatican has been a key obstacle to passage of legal protections for LGBTQI people all across the globe. And if we are now seeing a signal that that is about to change or has changed or is in the process of changing, people who are in very vulnerable situations in countries where there are no legal protections for queer people, for our families, might start seeing some of those protections come into being, and their lives could change drastically. They could be in much safer position, subject to much less violence. And that's obviously very, very positive. I think it also signals that, you know, if the Vatican is going to stop being an impediment to legal protections for gay people and trans people, will it also be reviewing, revising, removing those horrific church teachings that condemn gay people, that say any same-sex intimacy is intrinsically evil, that are the root of so much of the pain and discrimination our community has faced for so long?
I want to go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255, to join the conversation. We've got Juan on the line from Haverhill. Juan, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Radio Bolson. And my comment here is that gay people have been married forever. Gay people have been getting married forever. The difference now is that they can marry each other. And with that, you know, the consequences of this is that you're going to have happier families, happier children. I used to be married. I came out. And being able to raise my daughter with being proud of who I am makes a big difference. I think the story would have been horrible if I had been a closeted dad, raising a child, not being able to tell my daughter who I was because of the Catholic Church, of the, you know. So I think this is all great news that the Pope is saying.
Thank you. I really appreciate you calling and sharing how this affects you personally as well. I think that brings this home for us. Tom Groom, I'll turn to you. There are many steps between what the Pope said and more official action, but let me let you react to Juan.
Okay, and I think we'll take many steps. And one of the steps, and maybe this is a question back to you, Tiziana, because you know it better than I, but my understanding is that, for example, the Archdiocese of Boston refuses to place adoptive children with gay couples. Now, this statement from the Pope would seem to call for a review of that, because the Pope very explicitly says that they have a right to a family. And if that be true, then should Catholic Charities review that policy they've had? As I understand it, it's still in place, where they refuse to place adoptive children with gay couples. So there'll be all kinds of instances of implications that I think we haven't even begun to tease out yet. But I'm wondering if that might be one for the Archdiocese here.
Yeah, you know, this is something I was going to ask you both about, the implications for organizations, Catholic organizations that also exist in the secular world. You know, to your point, Tom, more than 10 years ago, Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Boston, before I became president, stopped its adoption contract with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts because the Vatican found out that Catholic Charities was adopting special needs children to same-sex couples. The Vatican disagreed with that. Catholic Charities could not continue to adopt if it on a state contract if it discriminated, and so the result was that Catholic Charities stopped doing adoptions across the board. And I do wonder, Marianne, for Catholic organizations functioning in the secular world, this, as you say, could really change legal protections, practical human resource policies. How do we begin to think about that?
I think that's really important. For us to be considering. At this point, people are being fired if they marry a same-sex partner or if they transition in terms of their gender. If they work for Catholic institutions, including those that get public funding. You know, there's a Supreme Court case being heard the day after election that follows up on this whole issue of adoption rights for same-sex couples, hospital treatment, you know, whether people can live in Catholic long-term care facilities as a same-sex married couples. I mean, the implications are enormous. And all of that could be on the table if we're starting to see progress in this direction, as I hope we are.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got lots of listeners who would like to share their thoughts on this too. 800-423-8255. Pat in Andover, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yes, I applaud the Pope Francis's declaration today. I was raised Catholic, and it's a very refreshing to hear this, and it's a much needed change with all the strife and controversy that's been going on in the Catholic Church. I don't really go to church anymore, but this really is encouraging.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that call. And let's take one more. Let's hear from Jane. And I'm sorry, my screen is cut off. I can't see where you're from, Jane, so maybe you can tell us.
I'm from Northeastern, and I share the same sentiments as Pat. Hallelujah, Pope Francis. Bring it on. Now we just have to get women as priests. So I think this is a great step, especially for the year 2020.
Thank you, Jane. And so that's interesting. So we hear both joy there, Tom Groom, and also with Jane, you know, positing that is this the tip of a wedge to other reforms that more progressive Catholics, and we need to know Catholics are not a monolith, either in the United States or across the globe, Catholics have been looking for.
Indiana, as we well know. I suppose it might be foolhardy to get overly enthusiastic or excited about it, but it certainly, as Marianne said so well, it's a step in the right direction. And with the help of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Father will continue to speak out. He's the chief teacher of our Catholic faith and represents it to the world. And it is always to the world, which is something for us to remember. It's not just to Boston or to the United States. Marianne said earlier, this could have really significant impact, especially in areas of the world that are not even as far along as we might assume to be by way of gay rights and so on. So it's a positive symbol for sure. Then onward with it, and let's see how it unfolds.
I'd like to grab another call here. We've got John on the line from Roxbury. John, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I just feel that this is a message to America right now, too, the Supreme Court hearings recently. There's many Catholic countries that support gay rights and abortion. And, you know, with this recent Supreme Court hearing, that seems to be Catholic is a big deal about being against abortion and gay rights. So I think it fits in that context. So.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Thanks for that call. And Marianne, I'll turn to you on that. And just as a reminder for our listeners, the Senate is in the process of preparing to, it appears, confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who is Catholic, to be a Supreme Court justice. The Republican senators have been very clear that abortion is an issue on the table in this nomination process, and it would make six of the Supreme Court justices Catholic should she be confirmed. So let me turn to you, Marianne, for some reactions there.
Yeah, I'd like to note that Sir Pat and was it Joy, the other caller that spoke?
I think it was Jane.
You know, Jane, I'm sorry for getting the name wrong. But I think that what they are showing is how far ahead of church officials Catholics in many countries tend to be in terms of support for LGBTQ rights and for other conscience rights as well. And that does spill over into our public policy arena. I think that folks are really thinking seriously about these intersections of faith and morality and public policy issues. And while these issues are certainly, as you said, not monolithic in any way within our church, I think that people really are really thinking about what human rights look like and what it means to be members of a church or a society together, even when there are differences of opinion.
So, Tom, I'm getting on my call screen a note that the AP has had a story this morning with a response from the Bishop of Providence, Rhode Island, Thomas Tobin. And here's part of what he said, quote, "The Pope's statement clearly contradicts what has been longstanding teaching of the church about same-sex unions. The church cannot support the acceptance of objectively immoral relationships," end quote. That underscores not only that there will be wide disagreement inside the church on the Pope's comments, but also that there is a long history of pain for LGBTQ Catholics and non-Catholics alike in the response to the Catholic Church to the LGBTQ community. And this does not address that history.
No, it doesn't. And Bishop Tobin, I think in fairness to him, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think he would be recognized as one of the more conservative, significantly to the conservative right, among Catholic bishops. Like, many of our bishops will not have any negative response to it the way Tobin did. And Tobin is somewhat idiosyncratic in that regard. I was thinking, as we were talking and as Marianne was talking, you know, I was asked one time, why did Ireland pass the marriage rights amendment by 64-65% when only 8-12% of the population is gay or bisexual or LGBTQ? And my answer was, because there may be only 10-12% of the population, but they all have mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters who hate to see their child or their grandchild discriminated against. So I think there's a basic instinct in parents, of especially if our priests and bishops had families and some of their kids were gay, they would have a lot very different song to sing in this regard. If you find yourself as a parent of a gay child, you change your mind rather quickly about their rights and their dignity and their equal rights and so on, and their beauty and goodness. So our church is behind the eight ball on this. But as one of our callers there said, this is a hopeful sign.
Marianne, I do want to turn to you too, because I think often when we see an institution begin to change its stance, one of the things that is natural is to be angry for the legacy of the old stance. And I wonder, will we see and hear some of that alongside the excitement and those who will be angry with the church that this change is selling out to the traditions of the institution? I'd love your reactions to those thoughts.
I have certainly seen responses all across the board to this, from incredible jubilation and excitement about this to, you know, statements calling the Pope a heretic on this. And again, I think it points to the diversity within our church. I think that it is very important that we remain in dialogue with one another about this, that, you know, we continue to press for the church to honor the dignity and humanity of every person on earth, including our right to legal protections. And, you know, our organization actually believes that same-sex marriage should be considered sacramental in the same way that opposite-sex marriage should be. So I think that we need to be finding a place within our tradition, within our gospel stories, within our theology, for everyone to be equally embraced by the church. And again, I really hope that this is another step towards that reality.
Well, I'm so glad you've both been able to join us. Marianne Duddy-Burke, Executive Director of Dignity USA, and Thomas Groom, Professor of Theology and Religious Education at Boston College. Thank you to both of you.